Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
Well, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple. Well, I'm actually not in Mount Calvary Miracle Temple at the moment, but that's the church that I attend. And I have the privilege of presenting a Bible class this evening. I want to thank God for just giving me the opportunity to be before you all. I want to thank God for our pastor, Suffragan Bishop-elect Johnny Magnus, for allowing this to be possible. And hopefully we can just dive into some scriptures today. I love the scriptures. I love studying the scriptures. It's fascinating to me. It's exciting to me. And I look at every Bible class that I'm able to participate in as a journey. And there's all sorts of things that we can learn along the way because it's God giving the increase. So I want to thank God for his goodness this evening. And hopefully there won't be any disruptions. If there are any disruptions, then what typically happens is at 8:30 when we're finished with Bible class, you can go back around that time and everything should be uploaded. Sometimes it takes an extra half an hour to fully upload and you can watch the whole video without any interruptions. But unfortunately, the internet that I now have is not that stable. And so when we upload these things and while we stream, there may be some disruptions to it. So I apologize in advance if that should happen. If there's a lot of it, then what I would recommend is just hold off, go back around 8:30, a little bit after 8:30, and hopefully it should correct itself. Anyway, that's while we're talking about the housekeeping things, there was a message I also have. Let's see. Let's not forget the pastor's appreciation of this is actually District Elder Howard Walker. So that's going to be in Oklahoma City. I believe it's on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. And this was given by Suffragan Bishop Suffragan Bishop elect Johnny Magnus. He just wanted me to remind everyone that there's going to be a pastor appreciation on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. at 8100 Northeast 23rd Street. And this is, again, this is for District Elder Howard Walker. And if you're able to attend, that would be great. So just wanted to give you that before we go on further. All right. Okay. So this evening... Oh, we got some good stuff planned. Okay, so let's see if I could go ahead and move this in here. Let's go to St. John, chapter number 13, verse number 35. Again, that's St. John, chapter number 13, verse number 35. Let me get over here. There we go. Okay, got that? All right. Okay, let's look at this. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and let's see what Jesus has to say. This is something that's very important. And again, St. John chapter number 13, verse number 35, and I'm going to try to see if I can see the comments this time. I'm trying to be a little bit more interactive. Let me go back up to number 34. A new commandment I give unto you. So this is Jesus basically saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Let me say that again. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one toward another. So many people believe, well, I repented for all of my sins. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came, right? So I've got it. I've got it. That was 10 years ago. I've got it. Well, that's good. You have a good foundation. And again, if you ever want to do some studies, deep Bible study about the foundation work, Elder Brian Campbell, he's magnificent when he's going into those scriptures about the basics, about the foundation. But that's good. You have the framework, you have the foundation. But there are other things, there are other signs that follow us. Again, there are other signs that follow us. Sunday school, we were talking about different signs. We were talking about fleecing. We are not a generation that just goes after and looks after signs. That's why I'm not interested in what my zodiac is. I'm not interested in all these outward signs. I don't have to prove myself. These signs shall follow them that believe. But we need to love one another. Real, genuine love. We need to have the love of Jesus. In today's time, there's so much stuff going on that if you really want to stick out, just love somebody, just love one another. And the Lord is kind of leading me to go in a certain direction tonight. And so let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So if we can go into, Ephesians? Is it Galatians? Yeah, it's Ephesians. Let's go to, I'm all out of whack tonight. Let's go into Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Let's go there. Let's see here. Galatians chapter number 5. All right. I'm pulling it up here. All right. Galatians 5. And we're going to go into going to verse number 22. I'll share my screen with you all. Okay. So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So let's give us context right now. Okay. So we have the Apostle Paul, who's writing to the church in Galatia. Says, this is several years after. It's a few years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's believed a lot of these churches that were sprung up that Paul is writing to, it's believed that a lot of these individuals were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, but when they went back to their several lands, they had to, they established churches and stuff. At least that's what many commentaries refer to in Romans. But in the book of Galatians, these are folks who are already saved. And so Paul is saying, but the fruit. So let's look at that. But the signs of the Spirit, the fruit that you have the Spirit, okay? How do we know that a person has what the Lord says that they're supposed to have? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that might look insignificant to you, but again, that might look insignificant to you, but in a world where it seems that love is lacking, where it's a dog-eat-dog world, in this present world, it seems like the devil has just gone crazy. it seems like nobody else loves one another any longer. Many families aren't exhibiting love with one another any longer. Many families are dysfunctional. Some, even many churches, dare I say that, many churches have become dysfunctional because there is no love, no genuine love. There's an, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, but is that really love? Well, let's talk about that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So in situations where it's normal to hate, The child of God exhibits love. The child of God shows love. We show love one to another. And there's many examples that we can see with us in our own testimonies from our own church. We always kid around and we talk about Deacon Don, there's a bunch of kids who egged his house. Now, the common approach would be like, hey, get off my lawn. What in the world are y'all doing? You know, no, he didn't do that. Instead, him being filled with the Holy Ghost came out and tried to give the very same people that were egging his house, he offered them cookies. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what the Holy Ghost does. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So in a world where there's a lot of hate, the media, I'm not going to say they're the ones who are solely responsible for this, but it is so evident that in the media, a lot of times they incite things. I think it was even a few years back that there was proof that outside countries had influences in the algorithms and all the social media and all the feeds that we receive, because there are outside people that have contracted and in advertisement, they're trying to plant ideas to you and I to incite certain things. So we have to really be careful. I mean, even with our algorithms now, I think it's bittersweet with our algorithms and stuff that we have on our cell phones and social media. I love the idea that I can pull up an app and all of the different types of articles that I would like to read, all of the different things that match my character, all the different things that match my personality seems to come up. And I, oh, look at that article over here. Look at that article over there. Well, it's because, they have aligned with the things that we already like. That's why when we purchase news articles, especially electronically, you'll go through this 10-minute process of choosing all the different types of things that you would like to read, because they are catering to the things that they think that you would like. Well, the bitter part about that is they are also going to be aware of the things that you don't like, the things that you hate. And sometimes they have this terminology of hate watching, so we have to really be careful with that. And so we can get angry. The world tells me that because I'm a man of color, I'm supposed to be angry against the police. That's what the world, that's what the media tries to feed me. Many of you who are watching, you may be conservative and you might have a lot of different conservative opinions, and the media will try to feed to you that you're supposed to hate people who believe differently than you. In fact, that hatred spirit feeds that. There are some people who literally hate others because of their political persuasion. And so we have to rise above that, being children of God. Doesn't matter, what side you're leaning to politically, unless it's you're engaging in unlawful activity that is counterproductive and that is promoting the kingdom of Satan, then I would have a problem with that. But we, even in this present world where the world tells you you're supposed to hate people who don't believe like you, and it's becoming worse and worse. Debates aren't really debates anymore. Debates and discussions aren't really, thoughtful, intelligent discussions any longer. It's ad hominem attacks. And, in the world, they do it on both ends. You have the right talking about the left and making ad hominem attacks and talking about things that have nothing to do with the conversation, but it's just simply trying to tear that person down. And then on the other side, same thing. We have to rise above that. If we're not careful, we could also allow that to enter into us when we're trying to share the gospel. So what? Somebody may disagree with you. Maybe they don't agree with your understanding of what makes God, God. Maybe they differ in their understanding of the Godhead. Maybe they believe that God is three different persons, or there's three centers or three distinct centers of consciousness that makes up God. But yet you and your oneness understanding of who God is, because you disagree with them, the devil will tell you to attack them. We'll talk about them. Well, that's why you're not saved. That's why. And all you'll see is this, this, and this, and it's not really love. And so we have to really be careful. That's why in many times we just need to shut the TV off. We just need to turn things off. I understand that we have jobs to do. Sometimes our kids, our loved ones may be in situations where there's emergencies and we have to keep our phones on. But, you know, it's, we should never lift up other things higher than our communication with God. What I'm trying to say is the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if I was looking at a tree, I'm able to identify the tree by the fruit it bears. We still do. We have a pear tree in our yard, and I know it's a pear tree because when I approach the tree during a certain time of the season, certain time of the year, there are pears that grow on the trees. That's a pear tree. Doesn't grow apples. It doesn't grow other things. It just grows pears. Now, am I judging that tree? I don't technically like to use the word judge, but I will like to use the word discern, because that terminology is also used in scripture. I can discern. I can tell the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree because of the fruit that I see coming from the tree. Well, it's no different in the Spirit. You can tell who the people of God are because the things that we're going over tonight are seen in their spirit. Now, can you see a spirit? I don't know what a spirit looks like. Not like that. I've never seen God. God is a spirit. I've never seen spirit. But I do see the effects that the Spirit has. Well, how do you know that it's real? Well, I've never seen wind. I've never seen wind. If you drew a picture of wind, I wouldn't know what it looked like. But I still acknowledge and I still understand that wind does exist because I can see the effects that the wind has. Okay. And so somebody might say, well, there's a tornado. That ha ha. We got you, Brother Pope. Well, no, because you're just seeing the debris. That's not wind. You're just seeing the debris floating around. Maybe you're seeing the clouds forming in that, and you can tell that there's a tornado. But no, we can't see wind, but yet we acknowledge that wind does exist. Same things comes from, you know, the things of God. I've never seen the Spirit, but I can tell that somebody is following after the Spirit and remaining in the Spirit because I'm able to see the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love. It's love all the time. Does that mean that somebody who has the Spirit of love can never be disappointed or be upset? You know, no, that doesn't mean that at all. You could still exhibit righteous indignation and still have love, but it's based on the love that you have. Okay, I spent a lot of time on love. I love talking about love. See what I did there? But because that is who we are. We are people who should be showing love. Now, Lord, look what the Lord has done for us. You know, I was not a people, but now I have been grafted in. I'm now somebody in the Lord. I owe him my life. You know, and so why wouldn't I love everyone? I love everybody because of what the Lord has done for me. I want everybody to be saved. Yes, I am biased. I want everyone to be saved. Yes, I don't believe in all these other different religions and all these different faiths. I do have a bias, okay? And that is my monotheistic belief in the eternal God of my salvation. I'm a oneness Pentecostal believer. And I believe in the apostles' faith, according to the apostles. So I believe in one God numerically. I believe that there is one God, one center of consciousness. I don't believe in two or three or four or five different beings. I believe that there is one God who manifests himself in different ways, who has different roles. But yet he is still the one true and the living God. And we know him by the name of Jesus. Okay, so I love talking about the oneness of God. Maybe I'll do that a little bit more in other Bible classes. But so what's some more fruit of the Spirit? Joy. We ought to have joy. You know, when a person who's been in prison for so long finally gets released, you know, they're, most of the time you're going to see joy. They're not locked up any longer. They're not confined any longer. They're not being told what to do any longer. These are free people. They're shouting. They're happy. They're excited. They're free. Suddenly the air smells a lot fresher, right? The flowers look a lot brighter. And so we should be that same way. We should be that same way, that we're not in the prison of sin any longer. I don't have to commit sin if I don't want to. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, what about this, Brother Pope? And what about that? I know that people like to, you know, challenge us and bring up all sorts of different types of lifestyles, you know, and all these different things. But what about this lifestyle and that lifestyle and this? And what about that? I don't have to do any of that stuff because I have the Holy Ghost. Now, the world will tell me, you just have one wife. You're monogamous. What about this? You know, what about a spare in the trunk? No. What? No, we believe in being faithful to our spouses. Amen. We believe in the sanctity of marriage, and we thank God for that. Amen. That's what we believe. We believe in what the Lord has established. And so let's get back into this. We're talking about joy because somewhere I got sidetracked a little bit. But when we have joy, even in situations where the world will tell you, when I say the world, I'm talking about the cosmos, the things of the world, the spirit of the world will press and put pressure on you. You don't have anything in your bank account, so you're supposed to put your head down. The Spirit of God will say, not so. You can be shouting like you got $1 million and you ain't got nothing. That's joy. I remember one time there was a deacon. There was a deacon at my older church in my former church in Akron, Ohio. And that day, I never forget this. That day, I remember he come up to me like right after Sunday school and said, Brother Pope, so what happened? He said, I was at Krispy Kreme's. So I had my car run. I had my car run in the parking lot. I was at Krispy Kreme's. And Brother Pope, somebody stole my car. They jumped in my car. They stole it. And yet, he didn't have his car back, I don't think, at that particular time. But yet, when the music was going, when we were praising God, he was the loudest one. He was the one shouting. He was the one clapping his hands. He was the one praising God. He had joy. And I'm over here scratching my head like, what in the world? He just had his car stolen in real time. His car is gone. But yet he was praising God. That's the power of joy, because our joy doesn't rest in our present circumstances. Well, that's easy for you to say, Brother Pope. Well, I have never told everybody everything that I go through. And so, no, it's not easy for me to say, but I can say I've got joy today. Our joy doesn't rest with the things that we possess, the natural things that we possess. Some things are here today and they're gone tomorrow. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. A recap on that brother that got his car stolen, though. Eventually we found out it was some kids who did it. I think he had to work something out with the judge or whatever. And instead of them doing some hard time and instead of, doing some jail time, he made it so that they had to come to a certain amount of times to church. He tried to get it so they could come to church with him. I never found out how that panned out, but he did not lose his joy. Do you have joy? Do you have joy right now? Yeah, I know maybe you found out some bad news today. Maybe you found out some bad news yesterday. No, I don't know your situation. Maybe a lot of people don't. Maybe you're a private person and you kept that to yourself. Has that affected your joy? I'm not going to lie. Sometimes that stuff shakes you. You know, you hear about the loss of a loved one. You hear about some sort of, a person who was here one day and gone tomorrow, and they're close to you, now they're gone. How are we expected to have joy? We just are, you know, and we grieve with those who grieve. And, you know, we comfort people during a time of loss, but still there should always remain an element of joy, especially if you're in, you know, if a loved one has passed on, especially if they were in the ark of safety, because you know that they're going to be going to a better place. Now, isn't this not what King David said back there in the Old Testament, you know, when he had lost his baby? You know, he was praying, he was fasting, he found out he had lost his baby, and he dusted himself off, he stood up, and the people around him were wondering, what's going on with King David? You're laying down, you're praying, and then you find out that your son passed, and now you get up and you're acting like normal. And he said, well, basically, you know, in layman's terms, I can't do anything about it now. And by the way, one day I'm going to see him again. So that is a word of encouragement for anyone who's ever had, you know, a miscarriage or you had a loss of a child. You're going to see that person again. You're going to see that child again. That gives me hope. And so I don't know why I said that, but I just want to encourage somebody that our joy is still intact. It's different than the world. The world, it fluctuates. You know, they win big at the casino. They're happy. They lose at the casino. They're sad. You know, it is fixated on the things that they have in their possession. That is not like the joy that we have. Okay. Our joy rests in Jesus Christ. And they could, you know, and I've been through it, saints, but I can honestly say I've held on, you know, and God is good. Okay. So we still have joy. Peace. Peace. Now, what does that mean to have peace? Now, there's another scripture that talks about Jesus did not come to bring peace. That was not his sole agenda to bring peace. In fact, he mentions that his agenda basically was to bring a sword, in a sense, you know, and that because Jesus came out and began preaching the kingdom of God, there's been many divisions. And even within our own families, sometimes, you know how it is, saints, you start talking about Jesus and people start getting divided. People start getting angry. People start getting upset. But back to peace. OK, now, does that mean that Jesus is not the author of peace? No, Jesus will bring peace, but that is not his sole agenda. He came to bring salvation, to save his people from their sins. And so peace is a benefit of the Spirit. Don't you love peace? When you have real peace, you want to come home. You work all day, you want to come home. If you don't have any peace in your home, you don't want to come home. You know, when you have real peace, and tranquility and comfort, when you have real peace, it's more than $1 million, isn't it? You know, to have real peace. There's a lot of people who have a lot of money, who are billionaires, who don't have peace. And what a tragic thing it is, isn't it? Not to have that peace of mind, that peace. We can, those of us who are in the Spirit, we can go to bed at night and sleep like a baby. Why? Because we know that we haven't cussed nobody out. We didn't say anything that we shouldn't have said. And if you accidentally did say something or someone did misunderstand something that you said, don't we try to clear it up? Oh, I'm so sorry. I apologize. And so we have to be one of those people that try to maintain peace. That's the power of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost brings peace, you know, but that is not the sole agenda, right? The sole agenda, what the Lord does, I came to bring a sword, and he came to bring salvation. And when the Lord does bring salvation, those who are in the ark of safety, those who have the Spirit have peace, but those outside the ark of safety, a lot of times they don't look at what we have as being peaceful. They look at it as being disruptive. And so I know that there are many of us today who don't go, I might as well go ahead and switch back and forth here. Hold on a minute, there we go. I know that many of us today are being persecuted, maybe not like the apostles, but you're being persecuted in, you know, certain ways. And We got to understand that when you have a testimony, when you have the Holy Ghost, your life convicts other people who aren't living up to those standards. So you may have peace, but the world is being disrupted by you because you're not, you're not following the agenda of the world. It's almost like those old movies. You ever watch those old police movies? And I don't know why I'm bringing this up. you ever watch those old police movies and there's, and again, I thank God for the police. I love the police. If I was in a situation right now or an emergency situation right now, I would call 911. I'd call the police. But you ever watch those movies where there are corrupt police officers and there's that one who just refuses to be on the take, right? And it disrupts all of the crooked, because that one officer didn't sell out, because that one officer wasn't on the take, everybody's upset with him. Well, just take the money. Just take the money. Come on. Come on. You can just don't. Nobody knows about it. Just come on. And because that one officer is doing the right thing, it's disruptive to everybody around him. It disrupts him. Maybe that was a bad example. I'm using old police movies as analogies. I know I could use something else. What I'm trying to say is the Holy Ghost will keep you. The Holy Ghost will guide you, but other people around you will be disrupted. And we talk about this a lot of times. If you're in a relationship, maybe you're not saved, your spouse is not saved, you get the Holy Ghost. You receive salvation. Your spouse may not like that, you know. And, of course, the Bible does give instructions by Paul, give some type of examples, what to do in those types of situations, how to act, you know, and how to conduct ourselves accordingly if you're ever in any of those types of situations. But what I'm trying to say is the Holy Ghost disrupts the normal attitude and functions of the world. That's why they didn't like Jesus, because he disrupted them making money in the temple. They were making some money, bringing all that stuff into the church house, which should have been known as a house of prayer. They tried to turn it into a den of thieves. They were trying to get over. They tried to change the agenda of God. And we shouldn't be like that. And so we have peace. We have peace, peaceful family, peaceful marriage, peace, peaceful church, peace. The Holy Ghost will bring peace. And so we definitely want to thank God for that. Amen. I'm looking on the, okay. Elder Gentry said, that's right. Our pastor says the word judge is defined as discerning in several places in scripture. So, yeah, it can mean one and the same thing. Judging can be discerned. I just chose to use the word discern, and you're absolutely right. I choose to use the word discern only because it tends to be a little it's a distinction between the actual word judge. When I'm talking to other people who don't know the gospel, but yeah, that is absolutely correct. The pastor also says love is our vision and mission statement. It is. Didn't Jesus give us a mission statement? That's a very good point. Jesus has given us a mission statement. We should love one another. We should love one another. We can't love God and then not love one another. And so, we've covered love, joy, peace. Oh, now what we're getting into. Long suffering. Oh, my. There's a lot of posters and stuff. They have every other fruit of the Spirit on there, don't they? And even when you're online and you're looking up the fruit of the Spirit, you're looking at things, for some reason, people like to leave this one off. Probably because it tends, in my life at least, it tends to be the most difficult. Long suffering, you know, bearing through with one another, you know, being put under, feeling that pressure. Long suffering, especially when things could be different, things should be different, but you're bearing through, you're keeping your mouth shut, you're bearing through it, because you have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will keep our mouths shut. The Holy Ghost will allow us to bear with one another when it's not all comfortable, you know. So long suffering. And also, let's throw in there. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can talk about long suffering with. We can also bring up illnesses, you know, if you've been diagnosed with an illness. Paul never really tells us what the thorn in his side is. And I'm glad he didn't, because maybe it would have minimized the effects of that particular scripture with the church. I don't know. But I don't know. Some people say it could have been blindness. There are other people say it could have been, you know, family members of the loved ones that he persecuted. And, you know, because there are some people who lost their lives. Remember, Paul, Stephen was one of them. He was holding the cloak, right? Of those who were throwing, he was holding the cloak. And it could have been the thorn in the side, could have been the loved ones of people who died for the gospel's sake, right? We don't know what that thorn is. What's your thorn in your side, right? You're suffering. You're long suffering. What is long suffering? If you ever forget what long suffering, to suffer long, right? Not short suffering, right? It's something about long suffering, even though my flesh hates it. My flesh hates it. My spirit thrives in long suffering, you know? It's something about long suffering that allows us to depend fully on the power of God and his spirit. When we're going through something, it could be an illness, it could be a situation full of turmoil, of adversity. Maybe you're angry right now because of what other people are doing. Don't you know, you don't have to be angry and have the anger of the world right now. The Lord has allowed you to be in that situation for his name's sake. What an awesome opportunity it would be to go through that test, to go through that tribulation and come out on the other side with the crown, a crown that cannot be removed, right, from anyone else, a crown that is going to stay there. Now, Revelation says they took off their crown, so I guess that it is removable, but what I'm saying is a crown that no one else can take away, right? They may take your money, they may take your house, they may talk about you, they may try to damage your name, but when it comes to our relationship in Jesus Christ, that's something that the world can never interfere with. They don't have the power. Now, they do have the power if you let the world have that control over you. Well, they made me angry. No, they didn't. The world don't have that power. No, you chose to become angry. Well, you, Brother Pope, you got to understand there are certain things that if you endure, you're just going to be angry. Now, even in the worst situations, I mean, the worst situations, I've learned that ultimately, after everything is said and done, we choose somehow, one way or another, we choose to be angry. Okay. So we can't have the anger like the world does, because we don't want to be judged with the world. Judgment must first begin in the house of God, right? So let's have, again, I know right now, many of us, maybe we're not long suffering right now, but you got to understand there's going to be times in your life where you probably are going to be going through long suffering. Why not build on the word now, strengthen yourself now? And that's another thing we were talking about on, I believe it was Sunday morning, you know, many people, they're so impulsive. They allow anger to take the best of them. And isn't that how the devil is? Like, if the devil would tell us about his attacks, hey, I'm Brother Pope, I've got a test coming for you at 4 o'clock on Friday. Be ready. Meet me in the parking lot. Well, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be prepared. But that's not how the devil does, right? He ambushes. Most of the time, he don't tell you. Now, sometimes through the Spirit, the Lord will give you little hints like you're about to go through something, or somebody will preach something and it'll confirm in your spirit, like you better start getting ready. And those who, if you're experienced in warfare, you'll begin to pick up little signs because you've been so experienced in warfare. If you have become an excellent warrior, you've become a skilled warrior. That's why they give them stripes on the shoulder. That's why they excel. And because the more experienced in the fight they are, they're able to help other people and they're able more prone to win the current battle. Well, it's no different spiritually. When you've been in the fight long enough, okay, there's a test about to happen. I don't know where it's coming from. I know who it's coming from. It's coming from the devil, but I better start preparing now. And boom, the good part is if you're constantly maintaining your relationship with Jesus, I've got to do this or I've got to do that. No, because you're already having that communication with God. You're already strengthening yourself. And by the way, we're not just strengthening ourselves just so we can win a battle, a spiritual battle. We do this because we love the Lord, right? I just want to get closer to the Lord because I love him for what he's done for me. I owe him everything. But in my communication with God, he's going to allow me to build myself up in the spirit. By the way, praying in the Holy Ghost is our most holy faith. It's sacred, okay? So now that the Lord has given me his spirit, sometimes the Lord will remind us of certain things or give us hints that something's about to happen. And so why not? My Uncle Anderson, I believe he's an elder now in Cleveland, he used to say when the warriors are not in the battle, you can always find them sharpening their spears. In other words, they're always in a sign of a good warrior is they're always anticipating the next fight. And even when they're not in a fight, they're preparing for the next fight. So let's do that spiritually. Now's the time not to lose standards. Now's the time to gain more standards. I know I'm coming back to it. I'm coming back to long suffering, but the Lord is leading me on something now. You know, we should never have the spirit of hatred against people who hold on to standards that you and I don't have. We should just encourage it. You know, there are certain people that I could talk about myself. There are certain people in holiness that don't believe in having a beard. Don't believe in having facial hair, and they do it for the glory of God. You think I'm going to knock on those folks? You think I'm angry with those folks? Absolutely not. Those people are glorifying God in their standards. I'm not going to look down on them, just like hopefully they're not going to look down on me. And if I was ever invited to a church that had that standard, you know, I've already told Sister Pope, I'm shaving. Probably going to look a little weird for a few days, because I want to make sure I don't offend anybody. But my point is, yeah, y'all don't want to see that. It looks really weird. Yeah, let's not even try. It looks bad. But my point is, trying to get spiritual here. My point is that we ought to show love to everyone. And I'm going to get back to long suffering. And there are certain people that have standards of dress, modesty. Let them folks glorify God in their modesty. You let them folks, you know, because there are certain standards that God has given you. There are certain convictions that God has given you that you need to maintain that maybe not everyone is up to yet. Why don't you worship God in your understanding? We're all headed to the same place anyway. You know, some are a little bit more closer than others, but why not glorify God in your own conscience? But we're living in a day and time because somebody may wear something a little bit more conservative than somebody else. They think they're better than me. No, they don't. Most cases, they don't. Some cases, let's face it, some cases, maybe. Maybe. But let's glorify God with that. This is the time now. It's not a time to start losing standards. It's time to start gaining standards. And standards just for standards' sake are in vain. But when we do things to get closer to the Lord, there is reason and there is purpose in it, in our sacrifices, because we're doing these things to the Lord. And again, I said all that to focus back on long suffering, right? So long suffering, we don't like to talk about it, but our spirit wants that. Our spirit, our Holy Ghost craves long suffering because it produces something in us that patience and love and singleness of mind, singleness of heart. There's something beautiful that comes about through long suffering when we are doing it the right way. Gentleness, you know, in a time when everybody wants to rebuke everybody else, it is refreshing when the child of God is gentle, speaks in a soft manner, not, you know, not, oh, you can't hear me. No, but speaks in a way that's gentle, that's kind, right? So I could raise my voice. I could slam my hand down on the table. But what, you know, and the Lord may choose to do that. If I'm preaching on something, that the Lord may choose to allow me to be bold. But there are certain times when God wants me to be gentle when I'm trying to get my point across, especially if I'm trying to teach someone who is not where I am, or somebody who is out of the way, somebody who is in error. The Lord may lead me to be gentle. That should be a sign of the Spirit. Well, Brother Pope, you're talking about me. No, I'm not. If you go into Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, there's a time for all these things, and a time for all these things, in a time and a season for all these different things. Sometimes you, for example, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "You generation of vipers, you generation of hypocrites." Called them vipers. He called them snakes. But you know what he told the kids? He said, "Suffer the little kids to come unto me." He didn't turn to them kids and say, "You little vipers and little snakes." No, he didn't do that, because he was able to. It wasn't the time. It wasn't the right tool to use for that specific purpose. So let's be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Let's learn how there's to use these tools in the Spirit. The same tool is not good for everything, right? And so what we're covering today, and I'm thinking of Elder Gentry while I'm talking this, a man who knows tools, right? That man knows how to fix stuff and repair stuff. So shout out to Elder Gentry. But this is our tool belt right here. We have to have all of these tools if you want to be able to do something here. So, we talked about long-suffering, gentleness. We've got to be gentle. We've got to be kind to one another. You know, kind words driveth away wrath. You know, and they teach us that even when working with mobile crisis, with people who are homicidal and suicidal, when I'm speaking with them on the job, they always taught us to, you know, you want to speak in a kind way, in a soft manner. You don't want to excite any anger. You don't want to excite anyone, because you're trying to extinguish the situation. We're not trying to raise it up. It's hard to do when you're angry, though. So we have to be careful. We have the Holy Ghost. "Well, my mama was mean and I'm gonna be mean." No, you have the Holy Ghost now. "Well, I'm just like my daddy. My daddy was a brawler. My daddy didn't play." Blah, blah. Well, you got a new daddy now. His name is Jesus, right? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So we can't use that excuse any longer, right? But Brother Pope, you don't understand what I've been through. You're right. I don't. I can try to understand, but I don't understand what you've been through. But I know one who has, and his name is Jesus. So you can make it. You can make it. Gentleness. We can be gentle with one another. Sometimes we get to doing this. You know, I got to the point, even at the house sometimes, I got so sick and tired of saying the same thing and same thing. It was affecting my spirit. And then I had to take it to the Lord. I was like, "Lord, what do I do?" And the Lord just showed me how to conduct myself, even in my own home, on how to do certain things when talking to the kids and certain rooms need to be cleaned, this, that, and the other. And most of the time, what the Lord is saying is just do, you know. Now, sometimes the Lord will say differently, but most of the time the Lord will just say, "Do it yourself. Lead by example." And then other times the Lord is saying, "Nah, you go ahead and say something this time. They need to know you're trying to instill something in them. They need to know how to take care of the things for themselves." And so I'm constantly relying on the Spirit, even at home. You might be saying, "Well, Brother Pope, you ain't in church. Why are you being led by the Spirit at home? Ain't you safe at home?" No, I never stop praying. I can't afford not to be spiritual minded. I can't afford to let my guard down. I have to fully depend on God, even in the confines of my own home. That is the world that we're living in now. We are forced to depend on the Spirit. You have to be gentle. You have to know how to talk to people. There's a certain preacher. He's not gentle. He just goes off on tangents all the time. I'm not going to call him out, but if that's his, the ministry that God gave him, that's between him and God, you know? But I do know this, when it comes to James Pope, myself, the Lord says, no, you need to be gentle. You need to talk. You need to say kind words. There's a time and a place to be bold. There's a time and a place to spare, to raise up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. But there's also a time to show your teeth and show my people their transgressions with a smile and talk and use kind words. So goodness, right? When you have the Holy Ghost, you have the Spirit of goodness. You have the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. You know, again, the reason why people give us accolades and people reverence us on the job, people, why we get all these awards and all these bonuses and all these benefits, that ain't you. You ain't do that. That ain't nothing but the Holy Ghost between you and I. You know it and I know it. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I'd be late just like everybody else. I'd be causing trouble just like everybody else. I'd be talking about the same job that gives me a paycheck. I'll be talking about them behind their back just like everybody else. Now, why would we do that? You know, so we have to have goodness. We have to exercise goodness. We have to be good. Okay. And I know that there's a scripture where Jesus was talking about there's none good but the Father, but that was a different context when someone was looking at him, at his flesh, as the rabbi without depending fully on the Father, him by himself without the power or the assistance from the Father that was in him. That's the distinction he was trying to make. Anyway, I don't have enough time to go through that. Faith. You have to have faith. Keep your head up. Encourage yourself. Pat yourself on the back. You can do it. You have to have faith. We have to have faith to make this walk. And so there's going to be certain times when we're going to go through. Every day is not going to be sunny down here. It's not. Right now, we're in a fight. I mean, and we got to continue in the fight. We just can't afford to fight the way that the world does. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter took up his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus. I do not believe that Peter was aiming for his ear. I believe that Peter was aiming for that man's head. But what did Jesus do? Now, I don't have any scripture for that. That's just my opinion. The Bible just says that he got his ear. Jesus was able to heal Malchus. Okay. But that's not why. Now, if that's not, we're not supposed to fight that way, or else Jesus would have never rebuked him or corrected him. Okay. He would have said, good job, Peter. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. And so we are warriors, but we fight a different way. And we are very effective. And we're very strategic because we have the greatest captain ever. And his name is Jesus. And he never loses. He's never lost the battle. And so if he's our captain, look at the army, right? We're from the army of the Lord. So we have to fight with faith. You know, and that's why, you know, there's another scripture that talks about helmet of salvation. That means hold on to your salvation. Never let it go. No, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Shield of faith, which we're talking about right now. The shoe shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The loins girt about with truth. You know, so this is a different type of warfare that we're in. Okay, and we have to be prepared to fight. Now, on the outside, the world may look at us like we're soft. The world may look at us like our prayers are meaningless. They don't amount to anything. Saints, that's all we have. And when I mean prayers, that's everything. I love prayer. The natural man, when they look at what we do, they look at what we're losing. Oh, you ain't eating today? Wow, you go to church too many times. You go to church every day. Blah, blah, blah. They look at what we're losing. Spiritually, we have to look at what we're gaining. You have to look again. You know, like the man who prayed over, like Jesus who prayed over that man. The man looked. He said he saw men as trees. Here, let now look again. I'm encouraging you to look again. And what you'll see is you're gaining something, something that could never be taken away from you. Meekness. Meekness is also another word that means gentle. The Bible refers to Moses as being meek. Temperance, that means having self-control, knowing when to cut it off. You know, we can't just talk about people. You know, we like to talk about people who are doing all this, these wrongs and committing sin, but we don't ever like to talk about the sin that we do. Sometimes we eat like pigs. We got to stop that. We're not pigs. We're human beings. And we have to have self-control. Did Brother Pope just call me a pig? No, we're not pigs. But if we're not careful and if we don't hold on to temperance, we'll lose our self-control. And we have to have self-control. That is what defines us. We have to show this love. If they can't see this fruit in us, they're not going to be able to identify us, and they're not going to be able to identify our Savior. The world should be able to look at us and see Jesus and want to get closer to Jesus because of us. If we're not showing any of this fruit of the Spirit, but I spoke in tongues, yeah, but are you mean? You know, I told those folks that fast all during the month of Ramadan. They fast all them days. You want to pray all these times, three times a day and not eat all during the month. And then you get off that fast, you cuss somebody out. You might as well just ate then. I know I'm just going off now. Let me get back on track. I only got about a minute and a half here. So meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Why? Because we're following after the Spirit. And if you're following after the Spirit and Christ is in us, who's fulfilled the law, then we will also fulfill the law because the law is in our spirit, right? We're living in the New Testament. We are New Testament believers. And the laws that we now have are now spiritual because we walk after the flesh. So what am I saying now? I'm saying stay encouraged. Look, down here, there's about shootings every other day. Somebody's getting something else stolen from them. There's another crime that's happening. And all I'm saying is hold on. I know that sometimes these things get close to you and I, and we just feel like crying sometimes, just balling up in the side of a corner and just crying. You can't do that. You got to be strong. You got to be strong. God has not given us a spirit of fear. You got to be strong, saints of God. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Hold on to your testimony. Don't waver. Don't lose it. Just hold on tighter. Double down in the Spirit. I'm not talking about being mean now, but I'm talking about being bold in the Spirit. Be nice to folks. They hate you. You love them. And so stay encouraged. That's all I have this evening. Thank you for watching. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray that something was said that can help somebody. We pray that you are able to bless somebody with your Spirit. May they repent, be baptized in your name, receive your Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and live a holy and godly lifestyle ever after. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you all. You all have a good night. And y'all, don't give up. Don't give in. And just keep the faith. God bless you.